Hello there, this is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, Hospedia Channel 1 and online. I ended last week's programme with these words. Scripture tells us that one day Jesus will return to earth, and not only will he come as King in great glory and majesty, he'll also come as judge. Indeed, when Christians meet for worship, they recite words, certain words that state what they believe. This is called the Creed, and part of it says this of Jesus. One day he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Here is our opening song in which songwriter Graham Kendrick outlines the rest of that Christian creed. It's called We Believe.
In God the Father, maker of the universe, and in Christ, his Son, our Savior, come to us by virgin birth. We believe he sent his Spirit on his church with gifts of power. God, his word of truth affirming, sends us to the nations now. He will come again in glory, judge the living and the dead. Every knee shall bow before him, then must every tongue confess.
So what does Scripture say about the return of Jesus to earth one day? Well, in the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles, it tells us how Jesus returned to heaven after his resurrection, and how two angels spoke to his disciples who were there, saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So today, at the beginning of our new church year, as we enter the season of Advent, we'll be hearing more about Jesus' return, and we'll be asking what Jesus will expect of us when he arrives. Our reading for today is taken from Luke 21, beginning to read at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard, so that your hearts are not weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So according to this reading, Jesus, when he returns as King, will judge all who live on the face of the earth. Many of Jesus' parables speak about his return and the need for us all to be prepared, such as this one, taken from my album Pearl of Great Price, and it's called The Parable of the Sheep and the Goats.
When the Son of Man in glory comes and sits upon his throne, he'll gather all the nations in and let his mind be known. For like a shepherd, he will make a sheep and goat divide. He'll put his sheep upon his right, the goat's his left-hand side. He'll say to those upon his right, come all my faithful ones. Heirs of the Father, blessed by him, your inheritance has come. I was hungry and you fed me, my dreadful thirst assuaged. You made the stranger welcome, all my troubles you allayed. You clothed me, gave me comfort, when ill gave love so free. And when in prison I was lost, you came to visit me. When you did this to the very least of all my family, you did it not just unto them, you did it unto me. To the others he will say, eternal fire will be your lot, now is your judgment day. I was hungry, I was thirsty, you saw to self instead. I was a lonely stranger, but you turned away your head. I needed clothes and I was ill, you did not heed my cries. And when in prison I was lost, you left me there to die. When you ignored the very least of all my family, not only did you not help them, you gave no help to me.
There are many who say that this kind of teaching and this kind of imagery, as in that parable, was all to do with the times of Jesus and not now, not about our immediate future. And they point to verse 32, which says, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. But the word generation can also be translated as race. So it reads, truly I tell you, this race will not pass away, giving the sentence a different slant. So the message outlined in this scripture today has three themes. The first is this: the king is on his way, so get ready and be prepared. Don't be caught unawares. The second is, don't harden your heart to the words he speaks. Be alert and pray. And the third is, read the signs and do something about it. Let's listen to Michael W. Smith singing, Prepare Ye the Way.
Prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way. Sing that. Prepare ye the way.
The idea of waiting, hoping for the return of the king, reminds me of a story of a passenger who was travelling east on a plane once. He'd been told to keep his eyes open for the sunrise, as it would be spectacular. So he watched the dark skies and waited for the dawn, totally prepared. The sliding door of his tiny window was open, and his eyes searched the heavens looking for a glimmer of light. He was determined to keep awake and see it arrive, and was rewarded by the first wafer-thin rays of light slowly emerging. He watched in awe as it grew brighter and brighter. Some time later, other passengers around him began to wake up, and they whispered to one another, "Look, the sun is up, it's hurting my eyes." It was there upon them before they realized, because they'd been sleeping. So it says in Scripture, this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, and that we're to keep awake and keep watch for him. Let's listen to a song Larry Norman is singing, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready."
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind, the sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed, she hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind, the sun has come and you've been left behind.
So much for needing to wake up and not be caught unawares. But what about not hardening our hearts to his command? There are those today who utterly scorn the notion that they'll have to face God one day and give account of their lives, and so they go on to live as they please. Well, if all of this talk about a time of judgment to come is untrue, then they have nothing to concern themselves about at all, have they? But if it is true, what then? The Old Testament prophets were forever telling the people to turn away from evil and return to God. Isaiah summed up the whole essence of their message when he wrote, "Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what is right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." We have been called to act with justice and mercy, and to treat each other with love and respect, because the one who is coming will expect this of us. Robin Mark sings here the days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, oh, the fields are as wide in your world. Declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
For those of us listening who've convinced ourselves that God doesn't care or understand, or has no right to judge us, or for those of us who've hardened our hearts against him, then this short story might prove interesting. It's called The Long Silence. At the end of time, billions of people were scattered on a great plain before God's throne. Most shrank back from the brilliant light before them. But some groups near the front talked heatedly, not with cringing shame, but with belligerence. Can God judge us? How can he know about suffering? Snapped a pert brunette. She ripped open a sleeve to reveal a tattooed number from a Nazi concentration camp. We endured terror, beatings, torture, death. In another group, a Negro lowered his collar. What about this? He demanded, showing an ugly rope burn. Lynched for no crime but being black. In another crowd, a pregnant schoolgirl with sullen eyes said, "Why should I suffer? Wasn't my fault." Far out across the plain, there were hundreds of such groups. Each had a complaint against God for the evil and the suffering that he permitted in his world. How lucky God was to live in heaven, where all was sweetness and light, where there was no weeping or fear, no hunger or hatred. What did God know of all that humans had been forced to endure in this world? God leads a pretty sheltered life, they said. So each of these groups sent forth their leader, chosen because he had suffered the most. A Jew, a Negro, a person from Hiroshima, a horribly deformed arthritic, a thalidomide child. In the centre of the plain they consulted with each other. At last they were ready to present their case. It was rather clever. Before God could be qualified to be their judge, he must endure what they had endured. Their decision was that God should be sentenced to live on earth as a man. Let him be born a Jew. Let the legitimacy of his birth be doubted. Give him a work so difficult that even his family will think him out of his mind, and when he tries to do it, let him be betrayed by his closest friends. Let him face false charges, be tried by a prejudiced jury, and convicted by a cowardly judge. Let him be tortured. At the last, let him see what it means to be terribly alone. Then let him die. Let him die so there can be no doubt that he died. let there be a great host of witnesses to verify it. As each leader announced his portion of the sentence, loud murmurs of approval went up from the throng of people assembled. And when the last had finished pronouncing sentence, there was this long silence. No one uttered another word. No one moved. For suddenly all knew that God had already served his sentence.
Let all mortal flesh keep silent, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God.
Was an ancient hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, sung there by Red Mountain Music. The Advent message is clear, that we must be ready to receive the coming King. There will be signs, just as our reading says, and we must recognise them. As well as the signs mentioned in today's reading from Luke's Gospel, St. Matthew also records Jesus saying, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, there was much mockery and scepticism, even then, aimed at Noah. That is, until the flood actually came. But Matthew adds a ray of hope about Jesus' return. All is not gloomy. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That small word, but, is huge. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And so let us pray this morning. Please join with me if you feel you can. Abide with us, Lord. Come melt our hard hearts, and let us be open to receive you. Be merciful to us, for we have sinned against you and against others. Grant to us this day your healing and your forgiveness, and help us to do what is right and good and true. This we ask in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Following on from that prayer, Abide with Us, Lord, we have our final hymn by Matt Redman. It's called Abide With Me. Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
I have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken world. You walked it first, you know our pain, but you sure hope can rise again up from the grave. Abide with me, abide with me, don't let me fall, and don't let go. Walk with me and never leave, ever close, God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, before the cross, before the nails, overwhelmed, alone you prayed, you met a sin, our suffering, and bore our shame. Abide with me, abide with me, don't let